Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome to the Midsters Podcast, your podcast for finding inspiration and saying yes to making the best out of midlife. I want to welcome you into our new studio. We're super excited about it.
So welcome to our new home.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I like our topic today. And I know a lot of people talk about it on a day-to-day basis, intuition, or it's like, have you ever had that feeling, that whisper that tells you, like, don't trust that person? Or mine for the longest amount of time was, I know my kid is up to something. True intuition. Right. And, you know, they all say it's my superpower, which I think is so funny because we're going to talk a little bit about women's intuition. And actually, there's a neuroscience behind it. And I think there is some secret ingredients why women have such good intuition. But my family would, I'm the only female in the house. And there were many times that they would say, how the F does she know that? I mean, truly, it's funny. And looking back over it, it was that little voice. I haven't always listened to the little voice.
I find it, my intuition kicks in mostly weirdly with the other female in my family, which is my daughter. And we have this funny thing where, I mean, it happens all the time. I'll text something, and as my text is going to her, I'll get a text from her about the same thing. Or I'll call her, and while I'm ringing, the phone is ringing, and she's calling me. And that's intuition, too.
It is. I used to always think about that as, what is it called?
Serendipity.
Serendipity, but also when one mind's thinking the same as the other mind, like they're talking to each other.
Yeah.
It's called ESP.
ESP.
Yeah. I haven't used that word in a long time, but I used to consider it that. But I think that people that you're truly close to, you know each other enough and pick up patterns of each other, that intuition is there.
Right. And I think the reason we, Lindsay and I, ping each other is because we're probably looking at the same news or the same article or maybe even the same TikTok, although not that anymore, and having the same reaction to it, right, and feeling I need to share that with, you know.
Yeah. So what lately have you done? Because you didn't deliberately think about it, but it was intuition. Because I think of deliberate thought, and then I think of intuition. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I've gotten better because I think you can train your intuition. You can tune into it more where it's not impulse. I think when I was younger, I would be impulsive instead of intuitive. Mm-hmm. And I think they're closely related, but as I've gotten older, I try not to be as impulsive, but intuitive about things. But then there's deliberate thought. Mm-hmm. So anything lately?
So that's a really good question. I mean, I think in earlier parts of my life, intuition played a bigger role in big decisions. Mm-hmm. I think now in this part of my life, it's more smaller decisions, more subtle decisions. So lately, I think my intuition comes into play a lot when I meet people. And my husband and I just retired, as you know.
Yeah.
So very exciting. And on Friday night, which was our last official day of work, we decided to go out and have a drink together and celebrate. And as you know, my husband and I started work together on the same day in January 1991. And here we are retiring together on the same day in January of 2025.
That's romantic.
It's very romantic. It's just, it's so sweet. So anyway, we decided to toast each other. And when we got to the bar, there were two seats, but there was somebody sitting in between them. And so we asked the gentleman if he could maybe scoot down one so we could sit together. And we struck up a conversation. And he was just an incredibly nice guy. Yeah. And it turned out he and my husband had some things in common. And then his wife came over and we started talking and we had things in common. And then their friends came over and we all started talking. And the next thing you know, these people that we'd only met half an hour before were like, hey, we're going to go play Scrabble at Rich's house. You want to come? And we're like, my husband looked at me. He's always a little more cautious because he's a man, doesn't trust his intuition. And he kind of looked at me and was like, what do you think? And I'm like, these are nice people. My gut reaction was, these are nice people. We're going. And so we did. We ended up playing a different game than Scrabble, but we went to one of their homes and we played games for a few hours and drank more wine and had a fantastic time and made new friends. And it was all because I trusted my intuition that these were people I wanted to know. And I felt comfortable going to their house. You know, they clearly were not axe murderers.
You know, it is. I think the intuition, too, like you said, it is the small things that play out on a day-to-day basis. And then there are those big things where you're just kind of taking a leap because of it, this intuitive feeling. And that's kind of how my marriage started. I mean, I met this man, knocked on my door. He'd seen me over the year and in and out. We lived in the same apartment complex. He was in law school and I was a nurse working in the medical center. And something kept telling him, you got to meet this girl. And he knocked on the door. And usually, you know, I would never be receptive to somebody that knocked on the door. But I had this feeling. I met him. I was engaged to him in 4 months and I married him within 9 months. And that was intuitive. Like,
and it's been how long?
Almost 33 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting because anybody else could have come to the door and I would, that whisper would have said, don't trust this person or, you know, don't follow up, don't. But there was something about it, and I call it a gut feeling. And I love the way we all use that. It's a gut feeling because there's actually neuroscience behind it.
And see, that's your role because here's the science person.
No, it truly is. So there is a gut-brain axis, and they refer the gut as the mini brain. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yes, they actually call it the mini brain. The gut has over 100 million neurons. And we always think of neurons as just the brain. But the neurons and the communication, the feeling that we get in our gut works on our empathy and how we feel about somebody, those emotions, unlike the logic piece of it. So it's like this major highway in between. And so I had a gut feeling truly that, and so did you. Like you saw those women, you were able to, or those people, males and females, and you were able to come to the conclusion through those emotions on how you felt about them, what you saw, the empathy, they seem kind, they seem nice. They're, you know, that is the gut part. There's a logical part that you could have, you could have overridden your instinct, your intuitive saying, I don't know these people. Logically, I should not show up at somebody else's house.
Exactly.
You know, but your gut took over. Is it? Yeah, I like that. I like that our body works together and there's so many pieces of it. You know, the other thing about the gut brain axis, I already had mentioned, you know, 100 million neurons in the gut, but also 90% of serotonin is produced in the gut. And I find that interesting. So I know several people that over the years might have had eating disorder, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, things that really affect their gut. And they're down. Like it's depressing. It's depressing that they have this illness or they're in this situation. But it almost seems like such a struggle because maybe they're down because they're not able to produce the serotonin.
And serotonin is the chemical that makes you
feel better, feel happy. Better. Yes. Wow. It's so important. But when we think about, you know, just feeling good and not being depressed and trusting our intuitive thoughts and all of that, you do want that major highway of brain gut to be as healthy as it is.
So can we strengthen that?
There are ways to strengthen intuition in general. So that specific would be a healthy diet. And we'll get to the bottom of the cause of your gut. So see a GI person. I wish, and maybe psychiatrists, I mean, there are SSRIs and things that they could do to help the uptake of serotonin. But I don't know if they really speak about gut health. And I think that that is really important. I think that's a great way to start strengthening intuition.
I read somewhere that there's actually, even within, and I love the gut-mind connection, but even within the mind, women, the way our brains are wired are differently than the way men's brains are wired. And in particular, we are more adept at integrating emotion and intellect than men are. And which is interesting because people think of women as more emotional. And maybe in a sense we are, because we can actually make use of our emotions in a different way. And that helps link in this idea of women's intuition, because we're tapping into kind of two things at once when we're making decisions.
So it's not the brain, right? Male and female brains very different, and using your right and left. But the other thing you're talking about with the emotions, the other piece I think to women's intuition is estrogen. And there's actually a lot of data on how estrogen affects our emotions and our empathy and the way that we accept people, that warm. We all have oxytocin, of course, which is more of the bonding. But estrogen, I think, might be that dash of magic in women's intuition. I think that's the dash of magic.
And the empathy part of it is, it's not just about we care more for people, but when you're an empathetic person, and some of this is by nature, a little bit for women is by nurture. We're raised to be empathetic. And you know, as a gender in our society over generations, and really as a gender in the world over centuries, we're taught and expected to be empathetic in the sense that we're the watchful ones,
right?
We're supposed to watch out for the children. We, you know, we watch out for the home front,
right?
And we're sort of wired just the way, you know, animals have instinctive properties that are bred into them because of the functions that they've had.
Mm-hmm.
We have that.
We do.
And so we are more watchful. And it's that watchfulness that leads to intuition, because we're picking up little data points all the time that we're not even consciously aware of.
True.
But we're seeing it and we're processing it.
Yeah.
And it's helping us make decisions.
You know, I think the another piece to it, kind of talking along those lines, is there's actually data that supports this, but I believe in this as well. Emotional IQ. The higher somebody's emotional IQ and picking up all those social skills, things like that, I think you can have more solid, intuitive decisions that play out in a better way than somebody maybe with a lower IQ, where it would be more impulsive maybe. But I think emotional IQ is very important in building that. And there's ways people can actually tune into their intuitiveness and their intuition, which I think is interesting too.
Mm-hmm. I think it's one thing that's a little sad is that we're kind of taught to override that to a certain extent. And you kind of touched on this before, like often, especially when it's a negative intuition, right? And again, going back to people, when you meet someone that you just get that bad vibe off of, we're sort of taught, because we're supposed to be empathetic and we're supposed to be kind, right? Oh, I can't think a bad thought about somebody. So we'll override what our intuition is telling us and try to consciously interact with someone in a way that goes against what we're really feeling. And I think we need to stop doing that.
Yeah, I don't think it turns out well. It never does. I can't think of a story where that turned out well. It's usually I'm slap myself like, you knew better, Marianne.
Exactly.
Why in the world would you do that? It's true about intuition. You're right. I mean, if we can just trust it a little more. I mean, maybe some people shouldn't, because they become impulsive. I think it's
also a fine line between
figuring those two things out.
Right.
But, you know, having a feeling about something, that whisper, just to sit in it. I used to not, and now I sit in it and I try to be logic about what I'm thinking or intuitive about. And usually that gut feeling was exactly right for me.
I think on what I've learned to do, and part of it is in my training as a lawyer, right? So I do have a lot of like analytical thoughts going on in my head. And you too, because you're a medical professional.
Right.
There's a lot of analytical thoughts going in your head. I sit down and I sort of list out pros and cons to things. But then I just, as you say, sit with it. And then like what comes to the surface, instead of trying to actually map out an answer,
right.
I'm just trying to inform myself so that I can let an answer bubble up for me. And when I do that, I always am happy with what I've chosen.
If you actually look at some of the definitions of intuition, it talks about past experiences meeting patterns. So, and that's guides our intuitive thinking. So like when I said, you know, I know my kid is up to something, I can just tell. Well, the kid that usually was up to something was up to something, and there were patterns. So I was using the experience, plus maybe the expressions on his face or what I was seeing, but it was the combination of that feeling, that emotion, something I'm picking up social cue-wise from him. Also the patterns, you know, within this child. And I'm sorry, but I'm even using my child as an example, but we all have kids and we all know when they're up to something for the most part, but it is experience, it's patterns, and it's emotion. It's all three. So trusting yourself. So it's when we think of intuitive, it's not just this thought that comes into our head that's coming out of nowhere. It is coming out of life experiences that we've gathered.
So where do you think women's intuition fits in midlife?
Oh, wow. I think,
like, what kinds of decisions are we making at this point in time where having intuition and leaning into it can be really useful?
I think our intuition is sharper now because of experiences. And I think that we know ourselves more now, not to be impulsive and, like, you know, jump off the ledge, something crazy. I think at our age, or at this time of life, not even age, like, you know, when you're in your life and you kind of own yourself and you have this time to have more space in your head and you want to do more things, I think using your intuition and about hobbies or adventures, any of those things, if it comes into your head, there's no reason to say no. I think that we can trust ourselves enough and know kind of where it would lead, like that road. And I think we should do it. There's not many experiences in my life looking back, especially recently, or stories of my life that started out saying, no, thank you. Those experiences in my life are saying yes. And maybe with margarita.
let me have a margarita and then you say yes. I was also thinking in terms of our health and our overall wellness. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think one thing a lot of women complain about, and I know you know because we've talked about this, it's definitely an issue that I had, is that when I reached a certain age and started experiencing just changes in my overall state of being and in my right. health and how I felt right. about myself, and I would go to my doctor and he would just be like, it's menopause. It's menopause.
Frustrating.
Very frustrating. And, you know, there's a part of me that was like, okay, but I actually think there's something more, you know? And I think that's where we need to trust ourselves.
True.
Right? And if you really think there's something happening, go and investigate it and check it out.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe it won't be anything, but you're never going to be sorry that you trusted yourself enough to follow it up. But you will be sorry if you didn't trust yourself and you didn't follow up and it was a problem.
True.
So I switched doctors. We followed up on a bunch of things and I got a lot of information about where I am health-wise that's really important to know that my previous doctor was just sort of dismissing because every complaint I had was, you're just going through menopause.
You know, I think that might be our strongest intuition. I think in general, I mean, we come into circumstances where we have these intuitive thoughts, but when it comes to our health, I think you're spot on. That is probably when most people first notice that their intuition is very valuable. And I've talked to people that have had bad circumstances, but yet something told them for a year or 2 years that something was wrong and they did not follow it. Mm-hmm. And maybe because they didn't want to know, I have no idea, but being a nurse, I would see people, assess people, and it often was this gut feeling. Sometimes from patterns I've seen of other symptoms of others where you kind of know that that's probably it because you've seen it before through experience. And like I said, the patterns as well. Or somebody comes in, they just have a certain expression, you know, okay, this is really pain. Like there's something wrong. And that's intuitive as well, mm-hmm. right? I think that those are such valuable thoughts and intuitive thinking that we should pay a lot more attention to.
Yeah. And I would say, I think the other one for me, deciding what to hold on to and what to let go. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we've talked about this in an earlier podcast. My husband and I did a massive downsizing. We moved out of a house into an apartment. And there is a role for intuition in that too. Like, what do I really need going forward? There are some things that logically you don't really need to keep, but you just find you can't let go of.
Right.
Keep that thing. Maybe it has meaning for you that you're not tapping into in that moment, and later you'll say, oh gosh, I'm really glad I kept that. And I actually have found that already about several things that probably didn't make sense to carry with us to the apartment, and yet now they're very useful.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I love intuition. I think that
it is our superpower.
It is our superpower for sure. And I think women in general, I mean, I know men are intuitive, but even my husband would say, like, how'd you know that about that kid or the dog or any circumstance? I was like, I don't know. It is a superpower and I'm glad to have it. It keeps me out of trouble sometimes too.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned your husband because my husband's a wonderful man, but he's very thoughtful. He thinks about everything. And sometimes there's room for thought and sometimes there's not, right? And I think I tell him all the time, I think you're overthinking. Just trust yourself. Right. I think if he trusted his gut, he would make great decisions because he's actually a highly empathetic person and I can see it in him. But he's taught as a man to be more analytical and thoughtful. And when it really comes to play, which drives me crazy, is parking. So we'll be like driving down a busy street and I'll be like, slow down, make a left here. And he'll be like, no, I'm going to keep going. And I'm like, no, I know we'll get parking if we go to the left. And as we pass the street on the left that we are passing, because he's sure he's going to go straight and find something, I'll see a spot opening on the left. What that is, I don't know. But I think it's intuition.
I think that's great. Another, I think, great idea for people to do if you want to trust like your intuitive thinking and not like, okay, I'm not doing that, that's just bogus or it turns out bad, is journaling. Mm-hmm. So when you have an intuitive thought, write down what that thought is, what your action was. Did you lean into it or did you say no? And what the outcome of that decision was. And I think I've never done that. I've been thinking about it since we've been talking about intuition, but I may give that a try.
I think that's a great idea. And I'll add to that, I don't know if this specifically would work, but it seems to me that it might. Dream journaling.
Mm.
Because there was a time in my life where I was really interested in dreams. And your dreams tell you so much about what's going on unconsciously, but it also opens up the unconscious. Mm. And since there's a kind of an unconscious observation component of intuition, I think opening that up is really useful. So I would keep a little pad and a pen next to my bed. And when I woke up during the night, if I knew that I'd been dreaming, I would just write down a few words about mm-hmm. the dream so that I would remember in the morning and could go back into it, if you will. You can't obviously not.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. You're not going to write down the whole dream in the middle of the night. But if you write down, you know, circus clowns, water fountain, whatever was in the dream, you'll recall it in the morning. And I think that stimulates the unconscious to be sort of integrated a little better with the conscious thought.
Right. I love intuition. My kids would say they don't. Not mine anyway. But in general, I think it's a great way for us to live our lives in a way.
Just trusting a little bit more and not planning everything.
Right.
It's interesting because I think if you reduce stress, you can improve your intuition. Because you're not going to get clouded mm-hmm. by that stress and anxiety, but it works in the reverse too, right? Like if you can trust yourself a little bit more, it's a less stressful life.
It's true. We're here because of intuition.
Yes.
Like my career path, I wasn't a producer. I'm not a news anchor. I'm not a writer. I am none of those things. I was a nurse. Loved it. But it was this feeling, this thought in my head that I could do more in life. Like I wanted to do something totally different, unrelated to anything I'd ever done.
And you trusted that intuition.
I did. And I trusted you.
Yeah. Ditto.
Which is great. And now we're here. But if I had not followed that, the logic would have said, Marianne, you've never done anything like that before. Why? And I actually don't like being front and center. I don't sit in the background. I'm a vocal person. I've never met a stranger, but I don't like attention. And not that this brings attention, but, you know, I do have a camera aimed right at me. So I needed a little self-confidence there. But that was just an intuitive feeling, an intuitive thought that was like, you know, I want to do this.
You actually have had, this whole thing has been driven by your intuition. I'm really just riding on your coattails. And that's another thing, maybe a good place to leave it. If your own intuition lacks, find a good friend who has great intuition and trust their judgment.
Well, you inspire me. So it's a great team. Anyway, well, thank you for your time. We're glad you tuned in. You can find us at AmericanMidsters.com. When you go on that website, don't forget to subscribe. We hope to see you soon.